Grace, Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians, for atheists to state and to argue that Jesus and Paul do not agree on the message, the way of salvation. But it is another thing entirely and truly saddening that many Christians state and argue the same. This should not be, nor is it even really true. Jesus confessed when he's speaking of the charge against him that he got his power from Satan. Jesus stated, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If Jesus and Paul are divided, opposing each other, then so is the very word of God. And truly, God is not divided. So it is rather striking what happens in this discussion from John chapter 3 between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a prominent Pharisee. And that means he knew the law of God, the Torah, the instruction of Moses inside and out better than most. And he was committed to it, committed to keeping that Torah as perfectly as possible, all for the sake of the Jews finally ushering in the Christ himself, the Messiah, into the world. Nicodemus, a man representing at least one other, finds this Jesus to be rather intriguing. He acknowledges that he and at least one other know that Jesus is a teacher who is come from God. They have seen the signs, the miracles, the works that Jesus has already done, and they have concluded that God must truly be with him. Knowing then that he has a listening audience, Jesus equates seeing and entering the kingdom of God with eternal life and salvation. The prescription then that Jesus gives for seeing the very kingdom of God, you must be born again. Or more directly from the Greek word that is there, anothen, born from above. On Nicodemus, a reasonable man states the impossibility of that, of being born again a second time here into this world. This is precisely where the Lord Jesus wants Nicodemus to be in his thinking. Indeed, no one can enter into the kingdom of God through their own means, their own physical means. Because of Adam's fall into sin, we are all now born dead in trespasses and in sins. St. Paul would later write in Ephesians chapter 2. So Jesus then states one must be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, this table had already been set with the baptism prescribed by John the Baptizer. Now, Jesus would later solidify that very teaching when he instituted baptism as a sacrament, the sacrament that does indeed bring new spiritual. Nicodemus, so steeped in the devolved religion of the Old Testament, could not understand how these things could be. So Jesus' response to Nicodemus is truly, you're of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Jesus assumed that Nicodemus and all other teachers in Israel should indeed be aware of what the Lord Jesus is already busy doing and teaching, including the way to enter into the kingdom of God. Was that a fair assumption of Jesus? Well, it is from Jesus. So, of course, it is indeed fair. The way of life and the way of salvation had been laid out long ago. And that way of life and of salvation had not changed. Jesus gave Nicodemus a glimpse then of that way of salvation. He gave him a glimpse of the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The serpent on the pole brought healing to those who had been bitten by poisonous snakes, and those who then looked to the serpent, trusting that they would be healed, were saved. Jesus lifted up on the cross would provide the ultimate healing from the deadly poison of sin and of death. And Jesus emphasizes that point yet again in the verse we know well as John 3:16. Whoever believes in the Son shall not perish, but have eternal life. This has always been the way of salvation. Trust in the coming Christ, the Son of God, for life and for salvation. St. Paul saw fit to use Father Abraham as that pinnacle figure of saving faith. According to Joshua chapter 24, Abraham, before being called by God, was a worshiper of false gods. And so Abraham was not chosen because he was worthy ahead of time. He was chosen simply by the grace of God. God does not pick out people to be Christians who are already good people or on a good and right path. He elects those to be saved simply by his grace. Abraham then obeyed the call of God to go to a new land, simply by God's grace alone. Later, make the covenant with Abraham regarding his promised son, the one who would be born from Abraham's own line. Abraham trusted that word of God. He believed in Yahweh God, and God counted it to Abraham as true. St. Paul had been a lot like Nicodemus. He too was a teacher in Israel. Paul was a devout Pharisee, well known by Nicodemus and the others in the Sanhedrin. Paul would later write that he was considered the best of the best amongst the Jews, even going so far as persecuting Christians for believing that Jesus was the Christ. Paul was later converted, of course, by direct revelation from Jesus. Paul would then be catechized by the Lord Jesus as the 12 apostles had once been. Jesus then led St. Paul to proclaim the gospel of salvation by faith alone, as it had been communicated to Abraham and by the Lord Jesus. Now, many of the Jews held Abraham in the highest of regard upon a pedestal of sorts because they believed him to be that pinnacle performer of good works before God. But Paul knew the truth. Abraham obeyed God and trusted him only through the gift of faith that was received by grace. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God, Paul wrote. Abraham never boasted in his works. He clung to the promises of God. But even then, he did so as a sinner. For not long after his call to leave his homeland of Ur, Abraham was deceptive to the Pharaoh in Egypt, not calling Sarah properly his wife so as to not himself. Abraham, too, needed the righteousness of God, gifted by faith. Paul then goes on to the comparison of a gift versus a wage. To the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. God had credited righteousness to Abraham as a gift, not as a wage. For forgiveness before the Lord God is never earned by any sinner. It is only ever earned by Jesus. Now, this is the truth that Nicodemus should have known. It is the truth that all of the faithful throughout the Old Testament had known. Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced that he would see the day of Jesus. Jesus then said that Abraham did see his day, and he was glad. So how is that even possible? The Jews then asked Jesus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus acknowledged his eternal identity as Yahweh, God. The incarnation of the Son of God, the eternal begotten one, promised to be the Messiah and the Christ. That was the faith of the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Joshua, and Samuel, David, and Solomon, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, they all were believers in the coming Christ, the one who would be indeed the Word of God made into flesh, who came once as that Word of God and stood in their midst, spoke to them as a man in their presence. He would be made flesh fully and completely for them. That faith was credited to them as righteousness. That is the eternal gospel. Changed, and it never will change. For just as Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, so the way of life and salvation is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Old Testament foretold of the suffering servant who would bear the iniquities of all the world. The Lamb's blood painted on the doorposts in Egypt cried ahead to the coming of the Lamb of God. The serpent on the pole planted the seed of faith that the Son of God himself would be lifted up upon the pole of the cross. And all who look to him, who believe in him, who confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, who are baptized into his holy name, will be saved and have eternal life. For Jesus and Jesus alone always has and always will be the way of life and salvation. All thanks be to God. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen.